Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. Oh no, he's got to hit the command, I think. I hope.
Hello, hello.
We are now live. Wait for that button to be hit.
Wait. Are we not live?
I believe so at the moment. I didn't hear the beep, but yeah. It gave us the 5 seconds, but it did give us a little beep, sir. So.
Oh, well, I hope we're on. It looks like we are. This is Dr. John, and welcome to Pop Culture Stars for a crazy coronavirus Wednesday night. I'm live from Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. Todd, how are you from Indianapolis, Indiana? How are you doing?
I am outstanding to supernatural and ecstatic to be here. I am finding it absolutely unbelievable. We hit 60 degrees today. So I don't know. Maybe it's cold, the way this weather has been. Maybe that is the end of the world. But it was nice to have windows open and actually enjoy a breeze and have a beautiful day.
Is it the end of the world as we know it and I'll feel fine? That's what REM said.
Something like that.
Something like that. Anyway, good to be there. Kevin Holland from somewhere.
What's going on, brother?
Out in the country of Alabama. How you doing tonight?
Oh, I'm good, man. Just taking it easy. How are y'all?
Pretty good. You had an assignment tonight. I said bring us somebody cool from The Walking Dead.
And I did just that.
So to introduce him to us.
All right, I got John Ware. He is from The Walking Dead, and he is also tied into some other things that he's probably going to let you in on. So, John, yeah, buddy?
I'm here. My name is John M. Ware. The M is important. It's like Michael J. Fox. I was with Kevin on The Walking Dead, and I also had my own sci-fi television series called Town of the Living Dead, and we did a film that was released on the Sci-Fi Channel called 3 Days Dead. There's a lot of deads going on right now.
John, if you're talking about dead, are you talking about Myrtle Beach? Because it is dead down here. I mean, we're talking about the real dead down here. There's nobody around, except I will say this, shameless plug, Walmart Neighborhood Market is open. Other than that, nobody's here. Nobody is here. But great to have you here. And so keep telling us. So you've had a little bit of stuff on sci-fi. Not a little bit. If you have something on sci-fi, that's a lot. It's a lot to have something there on that channel. And what else? That's great, because we appreciate
it. I appreciate you guys having me on. I'm glad to be here. It's a funny story. I actually live – well, I tell people I'm from Birmingham, but I actually live in Jasper. I don't know if you guys know about Jasper, but Michael Rooker from The Walking Dead is from Jasper.
Yes.
And George Lindsay from the Andy Griffith Show is also from
Jasper.
Lost
in Jasper. Believe me,
I'm sorry.
I got to bring that up. The in the green room, you heard Kevin and I talking a little bit about a special project I made. I learned about and then got to meet a young man named Justin Huff. And of course, at my age, almost everybody's younger. That's its own story. But he was born with a genital heart defect. His life expectancy wasn't all that. And he got very much adopted by a series of people to include much of the Walking Dead staff. Some of the other, Star Wars has been extremely supportive of him. And he's gone to a bunch of people. And Kevin was helping me out with something for him. But sad to say that he passed last Wednesday night. And I'll tell you the truth, one of the first posts that was showing love to him as soon as the information came out on social media was Michael Rooker. He was one of the first people sending love to him.
That's great.
That's amazing. That's amazing. I hate You know, that's such a tragic story, and I wish we could have done so much for that guy. And, you know, I hope his family's well, and I hate that.
Yeah, you know, it's kind of rough, but, you know, that's just how quick we had talked a bit about how just the support he got from so many folks from The Walking Dead stuff. So I have my own perspective of The Walking Dead, if you will, because of Justin.
Yes.
Yeah, I had no idea about that. I had saw Norman Reedus had posted something about it. I had no idea any of it was going on. But I had saw Norman Reedus had posted something about it.
Yeah, another one that sent like a video tribute when he couldn't be in a certain place. Just one of those things.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, man, I hope everything fares well for everybody. You know, I hate that, and that's very tragic. You know, I don't think it's far-fetched for us to try to do something for the family, though.
We're staying with I talk with the uncle most every day, work-related. So we, you know, keeping tabs that way. Man, I'm sorry to take this on such a bummer sidetrack, but in a way, just so I don't take this, you guys think I'm thinking of it as a downer thing. I'm thinking of a celebration thing because I am on a podcast, and it's got guys from one of the things that kept Justin alive for so long, and I mean he. With this particular condition, he outlived all others ever. So, you know, I mean, in a way, he should be in the damn Guinness Book of World Records. So I'm taking this as a celebration of Justin.
Hell yeah.
Wow.
Really am. But, John, I'm sorry I really derailed you on that stuff. Jump back. You had this thing going on sci-fi. And I mean, definitely referring to the doggone John from Jasper. Yeah, tell us about that, man. Because seriously, man, you got something on sci-fi? Not too stinking shabby, dude.
Yeah, it was called Town of the Living Dead. It aired in October, November of 2014. It was a docu-series about the movie that we had made, 3 Days Dead. And we just kind of, it didn't take off because we landed in a bad time slot. But hey, I'm thankful for the experience, you know, and there's a little bit of name recognition out there, because of it. And, we're working on some new things. And like I said, I was on The Walking Dead with Kevin and, see what happens there, you know.
I like it.
Absolutely.
Big plans, man. You know, we got nothing but future. We're going to try to make the best of it.
Got nothing.
There you go,
John. That's a great phrase. I never heard that one.
Well,
I don't know.
You know
I don't have anything but work, and I'm glad I do. Praise the Lord and pass the ammunition for that. But, yeah, absolutely. So how did you meet Kevin? Just on the set, or did you know him before, or what?
We had a mutual friend. I'd never met Kevin before. I'd seen him around town. We're both from the same place, and I'd seen him around town, but I never knew him. And our mutual friend was like, "Hey, you know, we've been working on The Walking Dead, and would you like to maybe try out and get a spot?" And I was like, "Well, hell yeah!" And we met on the way to Atlanta, actually. Hey, meet us here, and we'll drive over to Atlanta and be on The Walking Dead. And I'm like, okay. So you ain't going to tell me twice.
Not at all.
That's the way it works, man.
Yep, it really is. So what kind of acting experience you have prior to The Walking Dead?
Well, I had the reality show with Sci-Fi, and then I was one of the stars of the film that we made. So, and before that, I mean, really just kind of stuff in high school and elementary school, you know. And I kind of feel like Aaron Paul, you know. He's like, I never went to any kind of acting school. I just pretend to be somebody else, and that's how it turned out. So
that's a lot like Sonya.
Ain't that had all story?
So, John, do you know Sonya Thompson?
I don't think we met.
She's a good friend. She's from Commerce, Georgia, and she comes to a lot of my Comic Cons. And her claim to fame is she's had more FaceTime as a zombie on The Walking Dead than any other woman. And she also plays some walk on everything because she's an actor. She's been in about 100 horror films. And I did a promo with her, and I said, Sonya, scare me. And she scared the hell out of me. I was absolutely frightened. I thought she was turning into a dead person.
I wanted to kibitz on it. I think she was also the first zombie to vocalize, if I remember correctly.
Oh, she was? What did she say? I'll have to ask.
She was, you know, But yeah, I think she was one of the first zombies to actually vocalize because they started out silent.
Well, with some of the people that I know, it might be good if they didn't vocalize, but that's okay. I'm just teasing.
What are you really saying? Oh, that's not too bad. We made it 11 minutes before you took a shot.
Oh, no, I was talking about me. I just talk too much. And all that. I'll always take the blame, Todd. You know that. Somebody's got to take the blame. I got yelled at last night.
Somebody's always got to.
I got yelled at on my own podcast last night. They were screaming at me. They were all mad at me. And I finally said, you want to just end this thing? They said, no. I said, okay, good. So then make fun of yourself, not me. That stopped that problem. That was the Charlotte Line, our racing podcast. That's our NASCAR short track and dirt track thing. And I don't know why, but the whole crowd got mad at me. I was just trying to be a nice guy, whatever. But that's okay.
Let me ask you about that, John. You've got a fantasy league going on with that NASCAR stuff, right?
Well, we did until it turned out that NASCAR was canceled for about a month and a half. So we'll return on May the 3rd when Martinsville comes along. And yes, you're still leading.
Yeah, that's kind of what I was getting at, a little shameless self-promotion here with your fantasy league.
Mm-hmm.
I just want you to say the name. Say my name. Who's kicking ass and taking names in your fantasy league?
Todd Saxon is kicking ass and taking names, and he's number one in the Charlotte Line Fantasy League, and I have jumped up to number four, up from number eight. So I've bumped up to number four.
Oh, man, you're in strike position.
I know, it was great. I didn't even know who was running in the last race. I was so busy. And Zach called me up. He said, who's your pick? I said, has Brady? He's one of our co-hosts. I said, has Brady picked somebody? He said, yeah. I said, all right, whoever Brady picks. Turned out the guy finished number two. So it was great. I didn't even know who it was. I was so busy. This was before coronavirus really got to us all and everything. But anyway, we're just glad to be here. So, John.
Now I'm going to have to get my name in the hat.
Oh, yeah, which hat? Okay.
To get in on that side and raise the bar, man.
You can't until we finish the first half of the season. Then when we get to the second half, then you can join in, okay? Because
I don't think I'd do – I wouldn't do that to y'all. That'd make the competition too high.
I don't want to hear that.
Y'all too much.
Well, thank you.
Oh, man. See, look, our poor guest Johnny's like, oh my God, they're all talking smack to one another. Yes, sometimes
it's terrible. I mean, this is just
it happens. it happens. And actually, we did pretty good. It took us, well, I don't know, our first tangent probably came pretty quick, but we will do this often. So,
well, you see,
sometimes
you see, now John,
you gotta
John
jump
M.
in
Ware,
and get us back on track.
Yeah, the deal is sometimes if we don't have anything to say, we'll start saying bad things about everybody. So that's what they did last night to me, and that's fine. I'm glad we did. So anyway, what have you been doing with this coronavirus thing coming along? Have you been at home? You got a family to take care of? You've been in jail? What you been up to?
Really, John?
What?
Which
John,
one are you talking
to? I actually was trying to get you back in. I was mad. I should have said, really, Dr.
That's
John.
That's right.
Yeah,
this is Dr. John talking to John M. Ware. I say, well, so what you been doing with this coronavirus here? You been at home taking care of family? You been in jail? What's been up?
Man, I've been at work. I have been at work every day. In my day profession, I'm a salesman, so you know I have to go to work every day and try and avoid the coronavirus. So I'm still at work. I mean, I'm not at work right now because our hours got cut. We started closing at 6 instead of 8 o'clock Central Standard Time, but. You know, just trying to wash my hands as much as possible and not rub my skin off, you know?
Right. It's awesome. So still getting hours, even if they've been cut a wee bit. So it's not like they targeted you for hours cutting. It was everybody across the board.
It was everybody, yeah.
You know, I'm glad though that you're working at a place that's still doing all their stuff. Kevin, how about you, brother?
Man, I've just been trying to avoid everybody like they got the plague, but still continue about my usual day. I'm kind of a hobbit anyways. I don't get up unless I got to. You know, I have to go to town and get some stuff every now and again, but outside of that, you know, just keeping up with my hygiene and just not trying to get out there around everybody, you know.
We're proud of you for staying clean.
Yeah, man.
So now
I've taken the advice and the wisdom of all, you know, all the ones who's still sticking around for a reason, so.
Well, now, when are we all going to start with our own separate version of the Dead show, where coronavirus starts getting everybody and they turn into coronas?
Well, man, if you would ever watch The Simpsons, The Simpsons is called it.
Oh, really? Oh,
yeah,
I haven't seen it.
The Simpsons is called actually almost every epic event we've had. I'd like to meet the writer of The Simpsons. Just because they've called almost everything that's happened in one or two some form of fashion the episodes.
Well, what does South Park call it?
Talking about calling this, did anybody see, I saw this thing going around where there's an excerpt from a Dean Koontz book? And
oh, yeah, from like 1981.
That was barely prescient on this whole thing. I mean, it was straight up eerie. Anybody has seen it? This wasn't some of the Nostradamus vagaries. This was like, wow. I mean, very particular details.
Now, did you call it Nostradamus fakery or bakery? I was liking the bakery idea myself.
Oh, it was... Nostradamus, you know, he could be other than specific.
Do what? Todd? What did you say?
Nostradamus could be other than specific.
I guess so. I never thought about it. I always thought he was just wrong. But that was me. I'm sorry. Nobody laughed at that one. Okay, I'm sorry.
I was laughing at it, man. I guess
that's
you
right. You see, whenever I yell at you, Kevin, for not laughing at my jokes, you say, "Well, I'm laughing inside." So, you know, you got to lie down pat, which is perfect. So that's
well, as long as you can't prove me wrong, I guess I'm innocent until proven guilty.
Well, you see, I just say I'm psychic and you're lying, and that's all I have to say, and you can't deny that.
Well, I guess you always know then.
That's exactly. That's exactly right. Can't ever get me. I'm the guy that started this thing. Can't ever get me. I've always got something nasty to say back. So perfect. But anyway, let's see. What can I tell everybody? What I can tell everybody is we got a really great thing we're putting together. It's called the Online Comic Expo. It is a 24-hour a day, 365 days a year Comic-Con. And if Kevin, some guy named Kevin down there in Jasper, Alabama, if Kevin Holland will get me a promo, it's going to get on there, and we'll have us about 100 products that you can buy, everything from dead cards to cards that are alive to artwork to great Comic-Con things, and that's going to be up and running about the middle of this coming weekend, and Papa Stro, the Maestro of Wrestling, will be there with us next week. It's going to be a lot of fun. We'll be kind of staying in place, and we're going to give everyone the Comic-Con experience, but you don't have to get out and get sick. You can just stay at home
and laugh
at my jokes.
Actually,
and have
fun. I think that's pretty solid.
It's gonna be
you don't
awesome.
Have to worry about the people that haven't laundered their cosplay costume in like 3 decades. And
we're gonna have a cosplay contest every week. They send us up to 4 pictures, and then they tell us why they did it, how they did it, and everything. And then we'll have some certified, qualified cosplay judges to pick the winner. And then every quarter, we'll give out a grand prize from all the winners from the past 12 weeks. So it's gonna be kind of cool.
Yeah, this is going to be great. Everything we've got.
Yeah. John, we might have to get you on there. You got a camera. If you got a camera, man.
Yeah.
That's all we need, and we'll get you on there. Yeah, give me your contact before we're all said and done tonight.
Bonus to that, he has a card. He's about to have a card coming out soon as well. So match up. I have mine already. I've got another one I'm getting done, and he will have his very soon. So, you know, that's going to be a big plus, and we may have some more merchandise and stuff that can go up.
That'll be great.
Oh, I like it.
I want that. So, John, as soon as you get your card up, we'll have you on there again. We're going to have all of our friends on there all the time. It's going to be a lot of fun because, I mean, I like Comic-Cons. I don't run them anymore until the coronavirus is over. And I can't run any more Bigfoot conferences until it's all over. Bigfoot's out in the woods. They're just kind of laying low until this is over anyway. So,
he was already pretty good at keeping his distance from others. So,
well, that's true. That's very good, Todd. I hadn't thought about that. Todd, who is leading the Charlotte Lion Fantasy League at this point, I knew you'd want one more plug, right, Todd?
Oh, I'll take it.
I knew it was coming.
That's exactly right. Now, directed
right
to our
back
guest.
To that psychic thing.
That's exactly right. And John, this is directed to you since our guest. You see that we really give everybody a hard time, so you need to jump on in, especially Kevin. You know Kevin probably better than I do, so you need to give him a hard time. I mean, that's what people really
I'm
like.
I'm not giving him. You can't break this.
Well, I was going to say earlier, he don't ever laugh at my jokes either, and I'm funny.
Well, I do.
Now I gotta go into a little sling blade. Do you mean funny? Ha ha.
You know what? We are certainly
wouldn't
better
you like
than
to
the
know.
Five. We're better than the Five, and we're better than the View. What's that now? And which one is that one that Whoopi Goldberg's on?
That's the View.
Yeah, we're definitely better than that. But I mean, they're really good. They're really good when they bring on guests like John McCain and everything. I mean, they're really good.
Heck yeah.
That's funny. I like how he references somebody that's dead.
Well, we got two of them here with us. I thought they would feel comfortable if I added another one.
Yeah, ooh. Man, I feel right at home.
Well, good. We want didn't want you to feel left out. Jesus.
No, not at all.
No, not at all.
Okay,
but anyway.
Let's see what the heck else. The
okay.
Oh man, no, poor John gets in here. We're I don't know, John. Can you tell how comfortable we are with one another? We just kind of hang out and give each other grief out of pure joy.
It's terrible. Except you guys mean it with me, so you know. So I take offense.
Oh, that's
but
beside
anyway.
The point, Dr. John.
I know. That's right. And I will have another shameless plug now tonight at 11 p.m. Eastern time. Our the brand new Scarycast show, ElChupacabra.mx. So we have a show now. It's special time tonight on Wednesday night at 11 tonight. We're going to talk about there have been actually several attacks by the Chupacabra in El Salvador. So our buddy Eli, who's the co-host, he is the information on that. We're going to talk about El Chupacabra attacking cab drivers in El Salvador.
Huh.
I mean, what more can you say? He hadn't come in here yet, so I'm just keeping the door locked. I'll tell you that. I think the Chupacabra could get on it anyway. It doesn't matter. Yeah, 11 p.m. Eastern time tonight. ElChupacabra.mx. So there you go. So we got more paranormal, and then of course tomorrow night is Murder 123. Special time of 11 p.m. Eastern. We are going to talk about a couple pretty nasty. Carl Panzeram is going to be the subject in question tomorrow night, of course, with Tony Filosi, the paranormal investigator, Robin McRae, the remote viewer, Dr. John, who's playing the psychic tomorrow night. Nobody will know if I'm not.
I like it. And
thank
just for
you
the record,
for laughing, for goodness sake. For goodness sake. No, that's great. So, yeah.
Well, that's a killer show, just saying, that Murder 123.
Yeah, it is. It's a killer show. That's exactly right, but we've uncovered a lot. And by the way, just so that we will all know, we had on last week, but we have our own Surgeon General of Murder 123, Dr. Trey Donaway. He will be there with us next week. It's great having a surgeon that knows what he's talking about. And it's great. And when we found out from Trey, we were talking about, John, I got to tell you something interesting. If I told you that somebody gave their child at 1 year old a bottle full of kerosene, what do you think would happen to the kid?
Probably nothing good.
Well, what do you think would happen? No, this is what happens when you have a surgeon on, and he takes time to review the case. What do you think would happen? What do you think would happen if you drank about 6 ounces of kerosene?
You'd probably convulse and die and puke and
actually
stay away from open flames.
Actually, none of that.
In that order?
No. No, it won't do anything to you. Believe it or not.
Really?
Yes. As I said, the first time, this was the Pee Wee Gaskin night where we talked about Pee Wee, and his mother gave him a bottle full of kerosene when he was 1 year old. And apparently kerosene won't do anything, and it's fairly common in many cultures to give kids kerosene if there's nothing else to drink. So that's what happens when you got a great surgeon. I mean, we've learned Trey's taught us more than anybody, any of my college professors. They didn't know anything. But
and I feel like I want a fact checker on that one. But yeah, that's interesting because that boggles the mind.
Our Surgeon General of Murder 123, Dr. Trey Donaway said that. In fact, I'm going to be meeting with him for coffee and kerosene on Saturday, so we'll see what's going on. Absolutely, it's kind of crazy. And I'm giving him a preview copy of my new book, The Lizard Man Companion. It's truly almost finished and pretty good. John, have you ever seen a flying saucer, Bigfoot, or a ghost, or the Lizard Man?
I've actually seen a UFO.
UFO. Tell us.
Man, I was about six years old, and me and my grandparents were on our way to my mom's house, and I was laying in the seat, and I looked up through the sunroof, and this thing was it was shaped like a stop sign. I'll never forget it. It was an octagon. It was shaped like a stop sign, and it slowly moved over the car, and there were lights all around the bottom of it.
Day or night?
It was night. It was probably about 7:30, 8 o'clock at night.
What time of the year?
I don't remember. I was 6 years old. It was 1986, well, I mean, was it, 85 or 86.
I mean, was it nighttime so that you could see the lights in the night sky, or was it daytime?
I mean, no, it was completely dark.
Okay. All right, that's great. And could you tell about how far away the craft was from the car? I mean, was it like 20 feet or 300 feet?
No, it was pretty far away, but it was still big. So I'm going to say 75, 80 feet away.
That's not that far. That's pretty scary.
No,
yeah.
Now, did you alert your grandparents?
No, they wouldn't have cared. They'd have been like, "You making that up? Quit telling lies."
Boy, howdy, me and my parents, I think I was 20 at the time. We had just come back from eating dinner at our favorite restaurant. We were on Interstate 40. And I looked, I sat in the front in the passenger seat, you know, they wanted to make sure if there was a wreck that I would go first, obviously. So I was sitting there in the passenger side on the front seat, and I looked up there and I said, "Look up there, that's a UFO, and it's green." And they did, and sure enough, the damn thing was cigar-shaped, and it was green. And we all looked at it, and then my father just sped on up, and we got home. And I said, "Boy, that was something else that we saw." He said, "Son, we're not going to talk about that." I said, "Oh, okay. I guess we're not." But they saw it. They saw it. So, and if you want to see my other 7 UFO stories, just go to Amazon, search for my name, John Stamey, and buy a copy of Aliens, UFOs, and Anomalies, because eight of those 10 UFO stories are mine. So, you know, John, you know it's been a rough life, right?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Having eight or so UFO stories, what have you been up to?
Well, I've been a lot, let me tell you. And also, if I told you that the Mothman saved my life, it's a true story and it's in that book. Yeah, I went.
That
I
might
went
be why the UFOs are after you.
Something. No, I mean, I went to sleep at the wheel. And I was driving, I was driving along Highway 90 going toward Myrtle Beach. And all of a sudden I heard this screeching, metallic screeching sound. And I woke up and I was doing 80 miles an hour on the left-hand side of the road, getting ready to go down in a swamp with a bunch of trees and die. And I briefly looked at the rearview mirror and I saw the two red eyes. And I mean, it was, I've never been that frightened. Well, I superseded that one about 4 months ago, but when I had my latest Bigfoot experience. But I'm starting to drive down the hill, and I was petrified. And so I started slowing down, got on the right side of the road, pulled off, and I think my heart trying to jump out of my chest. I was so frightened, and it was real. And I went home. I went to my new place where I was moving into and just laid down and just passed out from fright for about 2 hours. And of course, I locked the doors. I was very careful about locking the doors. I didn't want anybody to come in or whatever. Who knows what might come in and follow me. But yeah, it's something else. So yeah, Aliens, UFOs, and Anomalies, the book about mostly Dr. John and his adventures with UFOs, aliens, Bigfoot, Lizard Man, and the Mothman. I mean, what more can you ask for? And you've seen a UFO.
That's
the great.
Same one. Not only is it Aliens, UFOs, and Anomalies, but it's Look Up in the Sky, correct? Aliens, UFOs, and Anomalies.
That is exactly right. All right, Kevin Holland. What is your, do you have a UFO, Bigfoot, alien, ghost, Lizard Man story?
Man, I have so many unidentified objects. It's usually at about 100 yards, but it just depends if I'm looking through beer goggles or not.
I was going to say it just depends on if you're looking through the mirror and the light's on. But anyway, have you ever
I'm just kidding. Man, I've seen some crazy stuff. I've never seen anything up close, but I've seen from a distance. I've seen where I was looking through, you know, looking for shooting stars and stuff, and I'd catch a glimpse of something that just, you know, it didn't look right. It would, kind of look like a shooting star, but it would jet one way and then hit a curve, like, you know, be going one direction and then hit a 90-degree angle, you know, at the same speed. You know, it's weird, but it's nothing I was ever really able to see too close,
yeah,
you know.
I certainly understand. All right, Todd, you know who we're going to ask next.
Well, I'm not the psychic one, so I don't know.
Dave Atwell.
See what I did there?
So, Todd, have you ever had an alien UFO or any type of paranormal experience other than meeting me for the first time?
Man, which was its own whole experience, man. We'll leave that story out of here because we do have some rules for on the air. And Dr. John knew that was a loaded question because
yes,
I do believe he's used one of my experiences. But yeah, it's a true story. A buddy of mine and I, we were out fishing. We were doing some night fishing, and it was just amazingly enough. You know, and then despite when I grew up, we would sometimes go out and do things that weren't necessarily bad for us. And just doing the good old-fashioned ye old hangout, doing some night fishing, got some simple still lines out, hoping to get something. And things kind of went sideways on us that evening. The next thing you know, we had talked about managed to find a way to start having that weird feeling, almost like you're being watched, and it's like no damn way. And you hear an odd and end weird noise, and man, when you hear something crossing the river and can get through a river that you know you're not going to be getting through. And I was roughly a freshman in high school when this happened. And I won't even give you the year because, holy crap, based on what I heard from what, John said earlier about when he was 6 years old and what year that was, I was thinking, oh, my God, I was already in the Marine Corps by the time, you know, he was having that experience. This threw us, like, really sideways. Like, we basically grabbed our stuff, got the hells out of there. And then we went back and we looked there in the soft mud. We saw the footprint, and it was just, it wasn't something that, we know what our regular footprints are. Even if we're doing mud, we're all boys. We've all been in the mud somewhere down the line, usually when we were in dress clothes and our parents would yell at us. And we know what size that footprint would be. And, you know, if we're out there fishing and stuff, we got a pair of waders on or whatever. And, you know, those things are meant to be oversized. You can still have a foot under, you know, a shoe inside them and all that. And you can leave some really proportionately extra large footprints. Dude, that stuff wouldn't even have been close. It was just nuts. It was nuts. And I have, it was interesting because I started here in the later years looking stuff up. And there's things from the Muskingum Valley all the way through the Cuyahoga Valley that there have been equivalent experiences up there. So apparently for the region, I was not an anomaly. And I've come to find out that there's actually, well, Dr. John met some of them. There's some paranormal stuff up here in the greater Indiana area that is amazingly interesting. So, yeah, I definitely had that one. There was, and I got to admit, the first time I saw Northern Lights, it kind of threw me. And it just happened to be one of those funky atmospheric conditions going on where it was actually able to shoot all the way. I was home on leave from the Marine Corps, and it was able to shoot all the way down to Northern Ohio. And that's just something you don't see in Ohio all the time. So then when I got up to Norway and actually saw them, it was less of an anomaly, but it was kind of freaking cool. That too. I mean, Northern Lights, for people that don't live that far north and stuff like that, it's a hell of an experience.
Right. Well, Todd, the one thing I liked about your story, every time someone tells me a story, I will always find something in there that lets me know it's a true story, something that they heard that they wouldn't normally have been able to make up. And here's the deal, because we know Bigfoot, the one I experienced was about 13 or 14 feet tall. And so if you're 13 or 14 feet tall, John, let me, I'm acting like Biden here. I'm backtracking, but I do know where I'm going. He's, when he backtracks, he just turns around. sorry, I had to say that. Yeah. But anyway, so John Ware, from the bottom of your feet to your waist, about how tall are you? About 3 feet or so, maybe?
From yeah, the bottom of your, about three and a half feet.
All right. Well, now, Todd told me that the river there was about 6 feet deep. Now, if there was a 6 foot deep river, you would not be able to walk through that river very quickly, would you, John?
Nope. I'd have to swim.
Right. Well, he said that when that entity was walking through the river, it was just going left, right, left, right, left, right, just at a hurried pace. And that's unusual.
Yep.
That was that moment for me in his story that told me it's a true story. Every time I hear one of these stories, there'll always be something that won't compute that someone will experience, and they'll say it, and it's just, and that's what's really cool about doing a little bit of paranormal investigation and writing, is when you can use some deduction to figure out, well, are they telling the truth? And the minute he said that, he said, John, the thing was moving fast through that river, and that river was about 6 feet deep. Isn't that correct, Todd?
Yepers.
Yeah, there you go. So, you know, there's always something. And like, John, do you know what your moment was when you told me your story?
Well,
do you know what
that
made your story believable? You said it was shaped like a stop sign, like an octagon. That's not something you would know to make up.
Yeah.
You would not know that. So I already got you pegged for having a true story. Kevin, on the other hand, we're not sure. But, yeah, you know, these things do happen. And what's funny is we kind of like pass them off. We just like forget about them when we should not. Because strange things do happen a lot more than people believe. They just don't want to think about it. They're in denial. But they are scary, and it's like, what happens if you have a paranormal event and you don't like believing in the paranormal? Then you have to think, I don't know. I'm going to forget that. I'm going to go think about next week's NASCAR race or something. That's what Todd does. But yeah, that's what a lot of people do. They want to forget it. They want to forget it. And I think that's one reason that people like the paranormal. They like The Walking Dead. John, they like movies like you have made, because they're a little bit assured that they're not for real, and they don't have to worry about it. How would you comment about that, John?
I mean, you know, there's all kinds of things that we try to explain away, I guess. Speaking of Bigfoot and paranormal creatures, we have our own version of Bigfoot down here called the Sipsy creature. I've never seen it, but I know people that have. Yes.
John, do you remember when I was referenced? Dr. John,
what?
Do you remember when I referenced that to you, I was telling you about the Sipsy creature? That I was running 60 mile an hour.
Yeah.
Dr. John.
Yes, sir.
Do you remember what I'm talking about?
I'm going to have to say I vaguely remember it, because I just finished re-editing my Lizard Man book when he was running 45 miles an hour right next to a car. So, you know, just remind me of that, if you would, because I'd like to get that back in my head, because that's cool, because it's very much like the Lizard Man story that we have from a very credible source. Now, was this...
Well, I didn't mean to cut...
No, I'm glad you did.
Go ahead.
Talk to me. Talk to us.
Well, I didn't mean to cut anybody off. John, well, you probably know the rest of the story, but, you know, it's crazy that you referenced that because I have had an experience with that, and I, you know, that still kind of has some question marks behind it for me. You know, it was very odd.
Well, give us the story. Don't keep us guessing.
Hold on a second. I just want to kind of tie both thoughts together there about why some people forget, and Kevin didn't bring that up earlier. Maybe that was an example where he had buried the thought a little bit. Sometimes there's some shit that is really hard to wrap your head around, is there not?
Yeah. It's very easy to get in that thought process.
Well, it is. And so can you tell us about it? Go ahead and get that. Go back with that story. I'd like to see how close that comes to the Lizard Man story with Christopher Davis.
All right. Well, John, what exactly was it you was talking about? Because what I personally witnessed. Go ahead.
Well, like I said, I've never actually seen it, but people talk about in the Bankhead Forest that, you know, there's something there, you know, on the toward the Sipsey side.
Yeah,
that,
I mean,
that
I was
throws
out
rocks and stuff at them.
I mean, what do they say the entity looks like?
Just a big furry creature, from what I understand. I mean,
see, that's
I saw
it is furry. Go ahead.
I saw a map the other day on some like Bigfoot show I was watching on Discovery or History or something, and they showed hot spots, and there was one in North Alabama. It wasn't a full map of Alabama, but it was just like it had some hot spots in Northern Alabama. And I'm like, that has got to be the Sipsey creature that they're talking about.
And that's interesting, the regional names that develop too, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's crazy, but I'm telling you, this is one of those things where I'm a guy that if I see it, I believe it. But this is one of those things I firsthand got to see. You know, I didn't know what it was, and it was weird to explain it because I was in a car. It was me and a buddy of mine. We was going down the road, and we was running about 60 miles an hour. We may have been going a little bit faster than we were supposed to, but, you know, we should never have to worry about looking out the door and seeing anything keeping up with us at 60 miles an hour. And there was something that come out of the woods, and it was running alongside our vehicle. And we, you know, I looked down to see how fast I was going, and I was thinking, okay, a deer has come across, and he's about to, you know, jet across. And then it kind of just went alongside the vehicle and ran with us. And the window was down in the passenger side. My buddy, he kind of freaked out, was trying to get the window up. And, you know, I guessed it, you know, out of instinct, automatically, I guess that's what anybody's going to do, you know. But it was one of those things. We looked at each other like we've done lost our minds, and then we kind of talked about it, and it's crazy the way it looked. It was brownish, like a deer's kind of colored skin. But it was standing up, running, full sprinting. But it was just more of a glare than anything. It's kind of crazy.
There's
definitely something to it. I don't know exactly what, but there's something there.
Well,
I love your understatement. Kind of crazy. That's because that was definitely knuckin' futz.
Petrifying. Yeah, I mean, I can tell you that in Rabun County, because that's where I run the Georgia Bigfoot Conference. Everybody in that town, they have no ifs, ands, or buts about this Bigfoot exists. They all say Bigfoot exists, and either they've seen Bigfoot or one of their friends or relatives has seen one. There's a lady that does the flowers. We have an Ingles Market. I don't know if you have Ingles. It's just a gigantic grocery store, and they have a flower section. And Miss Claudie does the flowers. She's done them there for 25 years. Really sweet lady. And my eye doctor said, go see Claudie. She'll tell you a story. Just tell her you're my patient. I said, okay. So I go in there, and I say, Dr. Sharpton, sent me to see you. She said, oh, do you want me to talk about Bigfoot? I said, how did you know? And so she told me her story. And so the next time I went in there, it was about a month later, and I saw her, her sister was there. Her sister had just come up to visit. And I said, so have you ever seen a Bigfoot? She said, well, yeah, I mean, there's everybody knows there's a Bigfoot at the back of Lake Raven. You just drive to the very end before it starts turning around and going back up, you know, because it's kind of a long, deep lake. And she said, right there, you go up a hill, and there's a Bigfoot there. And somebody heard her that was working at the Starbucks stand. They came over and said, yeah, my mother and my dad saw the Bigfoot. They're, in other words, they don't make any they have no qualms about it. They know where the Bigfoots are. They know there's one at the bottom of Tallulah Falls, which is about maybe 6-7 miles away. And they don't no guessing about it. No shame, no fear. They know where all the Bigfoots are. And I made a map. It's a shame we're going to have to wait till the fall to have the Georgia Bigfoot conference. Because I got this map of Bigfoot. And I know where the sightings are. And they all say, yeah, that's where Bigfoot is. We know. Now,
it's funny
I'm
that
not,
you
well,
said
that's the
that
cool
is,
thing about locals. You know, they tend to know all these things. You know, it's, if you just go around and talk to different locals and ask them about their personal experiences and stuff, you know, it's phenomenal how much goes on that other people don't know about.
They don't care. Now, John, what were you going to say?
I was going to say it was funny. You said it was called Tallulah Falls, the forest that we have sightings in is the Bankhead National Forest, which Senator John Bankhead was the founder, you know, it was named after him. Well, his daughter was named Tallulah. She was an actress in pre-code Hollywood. She was actually in Alfred Hitchcock's Lifeboat.
I'm not familiar
and it was
with
funny.
That.
Yeah, Tallulah Bankhead, and she's from Milwaukee County.
Tallulah Bankhead?
Her father.
Oh
yeah,
my God!
Yeah,
she's insane. I just didn't catch the last name and the first name, but yeah, Tallulah Bankhead is gigantically famous. So
yeah.
So when was Lifeboat made? That's a Hitchcock film that I don't know much about, or even at all.
It was pre-code, so there was no like MPAA. I'm gonna say early 30s, but there's a funny story that Tallulah never wore underwear, and and Alfred Hitchcock would say, "Well, I don't know what to do about it. I don't know whether to call hair or wardrobe."
I like it.
That's
I'm sorry, John. That's the funniest thing I've heard on this show in weeks.
Come
that's
on
great.
Now.
No, that's funny.
Yeah,
I mean,
she was she was famous for stuff like you're, that. You know.
You know what? That's crazy because I seem to remember that quote. That's like as soon as you said it, I had that deja vu. It's like, wait a minute, I know this story, but what a different angle on things. Very cool.
Yeah, what a different angle.
Seriously, a lot of things on this show find ways to tie in together. And, John, this is your first time on the show. You know none of this crap is scripted. We make it up as we go every damn time.
Well, we don't make it up.
So welcome to what we do.
Welcome to Pop Culture Stars. I mean, but yeah, that's so funny. That's a great story. And I will go ahead and mention truly my favorite Alfred Hitchcock film. Just be honest. Have you ever heard of the film Rope?
Yes, I saw it recently. Really good.
Did you really?
Yeah.
Okay. Now, have you two, Todd, and Kevin seen it?
Yeah, I don't recall it.
Okay. All right. So now John, now I'm going to ask you the real question that's going to bother you. Okay. There's two versions of Rope. One is pre-Mandela effect. And the other one is post-Mandela effect.
Here we
go. Was that you, Todd?
It was.
okay, there are two versions. There are two timelines. One is the fact that, and this is the one that I saw first, when they originally made the Mandela effect, it was done in one shot. And now, for some reason...
Not the Mandela effect. I even get track here. That, what was the name of the movie again?
Rope.
Okay, there we go. When they originally made Rope.
The original one that I saw was done in one shot. And then now, apparently, it's done in 10-minute segments. John, can you remember which one you saw?
I believe I saw the continuous shot one. It's been within the past, well, I said recently, but it's been within the past 2 years that I've seen it.
Well, there is.
And I remember it being a single shot.
Okay, now, when Jimmy Stewart and his buddy were in the living room, do you remember Jimmy Stewart accidentally almost knocking the lamp over? Do you remember that?
Yes.
Okay, then you remember, you saw something from the timeline that really doesn't exist anymore. Is if you watch it now, that scene is out of there, and it's done in 10-minute segments. And every article written about it now, every article used to be about how it was basically they did it as a Broadway play, and Hitchcock said go, and he said whatever happens, just make the best of it. And the film has changed now. This is great. Somebody else actually remembers that. I saw that when I was in college.
Cool.
I was taking a film course, and that was one of the weekly films that, you know, Dr. Burroughs had us come in on Wednesday nights from 6 to 7:30, and we'd watch, you know, a classic film, and we watched Rope, and it was an amazing film that Jimmy Stewart and whoever else, who was the other guy that played opposite him? Wasn't as famous, but they were both really good together. And, but yeah, it was an amazing film. John, where did you see it? Was it television, Netflix, or how did you? Where did you see it?
I either saw it on Turner Classic Movies or on Amazon Prime. I can't quite remember.
Turner Classic. Yeah, that makes sense. Well, anyway, I'd love to talk with you about that sometime, especially on an episode of Scarycast, because you're the first person that has ever owned up to the fact that they've seen the and there were article after article after article in film magazines about what a great thing it was that Alfred Hitchcock did it that way. Jimmy Stewart, if that lamp had broken and fallen, Jimmy Stewart was going to have to decide what to do with it. Is he going to try to clean it up, or, you know, what was he going to do? Because that would have been new plot. And I always thought that was great. And that scene's it's no longer there. And Kevin, and I'll ask Kevin and John M. Ware, same question. Do you remember films that seem to have changed that you might have seen a long, long time ago, and they seem to have changed now?
Scooby-Doo's like that. There's a lot of films like that. There's a lot of older films like that. But I've noticed where, and if you ever like pay attention to The Walking Dead, we use film and it's not digital. And John,
what do you use, 16mm?
John, do you remember what we was talking about? Roger had said in one of his interviews the reason that he didn't use digital. I don't know exactly what it is, but he had made a quote about film, you know, and it being easier.
I don't remember.
He had made an interview or something about being easier to get film, you know, than having to sit there and do stuff with the digital or something like that. And it just, the older films, to me, they've went, and you see where they've went from film to digital, and there's a big difference in the quality in those films, too. But I've seen, like, a lot of the cartoons and stuff I've seen get changed. They've cut scenes and changed them, and, you know, A lot of them's even got, I've seen some that's got different voices and everything else.
That shouldn't, correct?
Yeah, that just shouldn't. You know, it kind of messes up the whole storyline of it.
Yeah, that's right. Now, Todd, I left you out for a reason because these were our two Walking Dead guys. Do you remember any films that you saw a long, long time ago that seemed to have changed from the plot or who starred in it?
I don't have anything coming to mind, you know, off the top of my head, but I know I've watched things over the years and be like, and have the effect of, that's not the way I remember it.
Yeah, well, I've got
but
one.
There's been
I
but there's been enough of them, I've kind of generalized at this point.
Okay, well, I've got one I want to ask all three of. And this is the one that is the most bothersome. How many of you have seen the original Adam West, Burt Ward Batman series, like on Nick at Night or whatever? How many of you have seen
it?
Okay, now who's that? Was that John?
Yes.
Kevin, have you seen the originals?
I have, but I don't remember a lot of it.
Okay.
I got to watch a lot of.
I'm sorry.
I just
again,
rewatched. I think there was a handful of them. I might have it wrong. I think they were on Amazon, but I was just able to watch like a handful of the stuff, and then just rewatched it since. I'll go within the last 5-6 months.
Okay. All right, now I'm gonna comment because you remember every week they had a different villain, you know, some of the greatest stars of Hollywood. Now we remember
generally
that,
every week some of the episodes were carryovers because they would have the little cliffhanger ending and then they would usually do the follow up.
But they would have a great star every week. And does anybody remember the character Mr. Freeze?
Yes.
Okay, John Ware, do you remember Mr. Freeze?
I do, but I don't remember him ever being on Batman 66.
Oh, he was there.
All right, now let me ask Kevin, because I'm getting to the question that is the most bothersome question about all media, television, film, or anything. Kevin, do you remember Mr. Freeze? Yes or no? Either way is fine. Do you remember him?
I don't.
Okay. That's fine.
I didn't watch a whole, whole lot of TV, but I do remember watching those. I just don't remember the specifics.
Yeah. Well, I always thought Mr. Freeze was so cool because he had a device where he would turn and then a different part of the room would get frosty and cold and he could walk in it. Does that maybe ring a bell, Todd or John?
Yes.
Okay.
I'm just going to say I don't specifically recall.
I remember it because I just thought it was so cool because of the identity and the star who played Mr. Freeze. Who played Mr. Freeze? And from what I remember,
hang on.
No, don't look online. It's a different name now. There's a reason that Mr. Freeze was my favorite character. Who was Mr. Freeze? Can you remember?
I can't remember. I actually looked it up, and there's three actors listed.
Oh, no. There can't be because there was only one. One of the actors listed is Otto Preminger.
Yes.
He did not ever play Mr. Freeze. Mr. Freeze was played two times by one man because that's why he was my favorite. I'm the biggest horror movie fan in the world. And one of the names better say Vincent Price. Does it?
No.
Vincent
Price was Egghead.
Yeah.
He was Egghead and Mr. Freeze. He played Mr. Freeze because I remember it. That's the way I remember it because he was so cool. We had just gone to the old drive-in theater they were closing, and we saw some ancient horror film called House on Haunted Hill. Has anybody ever seen House on Haunted Hill? The great, the
I've
great
seen
Vincent. And Vincent Price was just striking in that film. He was, I mean, that's one of the greatest B horror films ever made. Ed Wood, that's mighty close to Plan 9, buddy. And I remember Vincent Price and that creepy mustache because he was just so cool because I was a horror film fan. And so I saw Vincent Price play. Now, John, when you looked online, who all did it say played Mr. Freeze other than Otto Preminger?
Hang on, let me go back to it. I was looking up Vincent Price as Mr. Freeze.
Eli Wallach. And that's amazing that it references Eli Wallach.
Where'd it go? I lost the page.
I love it.
Is it because the page has disappeared?
No. There it is. I found it.
Okay.
Eli Wallach and George Sanders.
And Otto Preminger?
Otto
yes.
Preminger, yes.
None of those guys played Mr. Freeze. No. Sanders played it because Vincent Price couldn't do it the third time. Mr. Freeze was insanely popular because Vincent Price was probably the most famous actor at that time that played on Batman. He was just so popular.
Insane. Well, this is crazy because
it shows
George Sanders in season one.
No, he played... There were two Vincent Prices and one George Sanders, and I remember that. So anyway,
man,
I
remember him as Egghead.
He was Egghead.
Yeah, he was Egghead because Egghead was one of those that wasn't in the comic book. Harley Quinn and Egghead were made for their specific shows.
Well, I'm sure you won't remember. Because there's another, and I can't remember who it was, but someone there was a guy that was a chef, and what he ended up doing is he put Batman and Robin on a spit over a fire, and he was turning them around, getting ready to cook them. Nobody remembers that. I remember seeing it. Does anybody remember that? The dude had on a chef hat.
I vaguely.
You kind of do now that I describe it, don't you? And he was turning the spit, and there they were. Nobody remembers that. I've looked through the list. There's no such thing. So there you go. I'm sorry we got in. I got to do.
Was it not a comic book cover? Was it not a cover of a comic book?
No, this was on Batman, and I remember that. And I thought, God, is he gonna kill him? Is he going to kill him? Because I had to wait till they were doing the shows one right after another, because it was like a Wednesday night and Thursday night. So I was on Nickelodeon, and I saw the Wednesday night. And I said, "Oh my God, is he going to kill him? Dumb me, you know? Is he going to kill him? I don't think so. It's Batman and Robin. The only thing that was going to kill him was the Batmobile, probably. But anyway, yeah, I remember that, and I remember him turning the spit. And he had him tied. Oh, my God, it was great. So anyway, there's the Mandela effect. That is different people having different memories of the past, and then we come together. And by the way, that fact is actually is part of Einstein's theory of relativity. But that is very, very possible that two people
Let me ask
other,
you this.
You what?
There was one episode that was that when Robin come into that room that was full of green plants and stuff. It was like, what's her name? She was Poison Ivy or something like that.
Yeah.
She was like, I thought Batman was going to die there because they was in that room and she had Batman and Robin both hemmed up. I can't remember the damn... Yeah,
that was in the
out.
Movie, though. That was Uma Thurman.
That was in the
movie. Yeah. Which one was it? Was it Batman and Robin, the movie? And it was Uma Thurman.
Okay.
But I know the scene you're talking about.
Yeah, my memories are getting mixed up.
Well, then let me ask.
Yeah, I'm getting mixed up on it.
I want to ask all of you a question. Do you see how really popular Batman is? we all can remember so many scenes from a Batman movie or a Batman television show. And I think that is just a testimony that Batman really might be the most popular entity that was ever on television, because we all have so many memories, whether they're Mandela effect, Wacko stuff or whatever, but we all love Batman and Robin. And then had Julie Newmar as Catwoman, and had Lee Merriweather as Catwoman. And who remembers the other Catwoman?
Perfect.
Oh, hold on.
They had three of them.
The name makes sense, too.
One of the most famous ladies that ever lived.
Hold on. Give me a moment. It's going to come back here. Because actually it was one of my old workmates reminded me about it. And again, the name made perfect sense. Eartha Kitt.
Yeah, absolutely. I got the surprise of my life. A friend of mine, when I lived in Clemson, South Carolina, and he said, I'm going to a Christmas party over in Anderson, South Carolina. There's a real famous lady that was born there, and you'd probably like to meet her. I said, sure, I'm not doing anything. We rode over about 20 miles from Clemson University, and we walked into this very modest house, and there stood Eartha Kitt from Anderson, South Carolina. I said, do people know? She said, no. I was born here. I mean, one of the greatest treats of my life is I got to shake Eartha Kitt's hand. So, I mean,
wow.
You know, how lucky can you get? And
that's pretty cool.
Do we remember the song that she sang? There's a song
Santa
that she
Baby.
Sang. Yes, she sang the original Santa Baby. Nobody can believe that, but she sure did. I mean, let's face it, Marilyn Monroe did a killer job, but Eartha Kitt was there. There was none other than Eartha Kitt, and she was great. And so, you know, it's been good to sit here and talk about old movies and the paranormal and Bigfoot and all that stuff. And, you know, so just so that we don't wear our welcome out. Well, yes, John, were you getting ready to say something?
I'm sorry?
Were you getting ready to say something? Did I interrupt
you? Oh, no. I was just listening.
Oh, okay. All right, so here's what we do, because one of our very good friends taught us how we close our podcast. And I have to start it early because, gee, you talk about long-winded people, but the people on Pop Culture Stars, Todd, we are long-winded, aren't we?
We can be, but one of them ain't here.
Thank God he's not, or we wouldn't be out of here till 3 this morning. Anyway, yes, stay that well. We will remember him well until next week. He won't stop talking, but we're kind of glad. He's fun. All right, so thank goodness I have actually 15 minutes left, and everybody can do a plug and say goodbye, and I always go last. So the first one is going to be Kevin Holland. The second one is going to be Todd. Then the third one is going to be, that guy John, he's got my name too. He stole my name, John. So you'll be third, and then I'll close her down. And hopefully we'll be out of here in our allotted 90 minutes, and the British lady won't yell at us. So, Kevin, what have you got to plug? What have you got to say for yourself? And it's always a pleasure having you on here.
Well, I appreciate it. And, man, it's just everybody stay healthy out there and try not to get sick and wash your hands and do good by each other. And, you know, it's always a pleasure hearing all you guys talk and learning something new every time, you know. And John, well, everybody, it was great having you on here with everybody, because I think, you know, you're able to stay on a pretty good like-minded base of things. So it's, you know, everybody, I hope has a good night and stay safe out there.
We'll do our best, and thank you, kind sir, as always. Todd, what do you have to say?
I got to say, it's ironic that I have the Alabama connection going tonight. I'm going to have a couple things run through here. So last night, you know, I tried to, and I'm going to encourage you all to do this,
Just reach out and touch, do some of those health and comfort checks, make sure some of those other people are doing okay. And do that. So last night I reached out to one of my nephews, and he's down there in Alabama. And, you know, I was like, oh, yeah, it'll be a 10-minute phone call. Like 2 hours later, I'm like, oh, my God, it's 11:30. I got to get up at freaking 3:45. This is not going to go well. But you know what? It was time well spent, much as tonight was. With all the shutdowns, excuse me, and things going on, I want you all to remember that a lot of the states are doing the allowing the local restaurants to do takeout things. If you're going to go and do a takeout, I'm not telling you what you have to do. I'm just going to tell you what I do. I'm targeting the mom and pop joints, the independent things. It's not that I don't like the chains. I'm not saying anything bad about them, just to be clear. It's just those independent places, they don't have a corporation behind them. They don't have those assets and resources. So if you can call ahead and get a takeout from some mom and pop, do that. Give them some love.
That's exactly right. I agree with you 100%.
Yeah,
they're working hard. They really are. And I hate to say it, but their food's always better than those chains. It just really is. But of course, I've eaten up in Indianapolis with Todd. You know how good that food can be, right, Todd?
Oh man, you tore it up when you were up here. And you know what? That'll give me a little shameless plug. We got Dave, who's not here tonight. We already referenced him a little bit ago. I want to give our girl Liz Brackett, our queen of sparkle, want to make sure she gets a little love. I know she's doing some quarantine things. We want to make sure that she's included, because I tell you what, we got her up here. We hit a certain barbecue joint, and she talked about the meat sweats for a week after that one, and then and amazingly enough, she had her first White Castle while she was up here. I don't know if that's really a great yardstick, but it's still kind of cool.
It's a heck of a yardstick. Come on, it's great.
Hey, I do want to give a shout out to Justin's family as well. You know, it's hard on them, and I hope all goes well.
That's awesome. You know, it's funny. While we were here talking, his uncle IM'd me. So yeah.
No, I hate that, and it seemed like he had a heart of a lion. He's been blessed. You know, he's done his part. Now, you know, we just gotta give him his praise and his respect, and just learn from him.
And we got to do our part now, right?
Yeah, man. Justin touched a lot of people. He really did. It's amazing. So, yeah, you know, we got a little more Walking Dead love tonight, and you guys are part of the healing process. So thank you.
Yeah, for sure, man.
That's a great way to remember him. It really is. All right, John M. Ware, your first visit to Pop Culture Stars. Have we scared you off too badly yet?
No, nah, man, I'll be back. I'll be back.
You better be, or I'll send the mob down there and get you. All right, so what have you got to say to everybody? what are your parting thoughts?
Just check me out. I'm on Twitter, at John M. Ware. They can check out the show, Town of the Living Dead. It's available on Amazon, iTunes, or YouTube. It's like $14 for the entire season. Check that out. Unfortunately, the film is no longer available. I'm trying to get a distribution deal for the director's cut, which is like 98% different than the sci-fi version of the movie. So hopefully that'll be out soon. And you can check out the trailer on my Twitter account. Just go to @JohnMWare on Twitter, and the trailer for the director's cut is pinned to the top of the page.
Well, I have an idea. I have an idea, and we'll talk about this. But maybe we could do a special one-time showing as part of Online Comic Expo, maybe?
Yeah, man. Hit me up. Like I said, we can get in touch, and I'll shoot you an email. Or you can shoot me an email.
Sure.
Just if you have Twitter. Not a lot of people use Twitter that I know of personally. I have a lot of people that I interact with on Twitter that I don't know personally. But yeah, just find me on Twitter. Send me a
like Donald
direct
Trump.
Message.
Do you not interact with him? He's on Twitter.
I don't.
He's on Twitter
actually,
more than anybody.
He should like own Twitter at this point. He's on there 3 a.m. But yeah, shoot me a message over there on Twitter, and I'll hook you up with a screener copy. And if you like the movie and want to show it, then we'll definitely talk about it and see what we can do.
For some reason, my volume just died after I started laughing about him being on Twitter more than anybody else. But that's okay. Sure, we will certainly do that. And I guess what will I say? I'll say it's been great having you on the show. It's been great getting to talk about what we did. It's been great not having Dave complain about my paranormal stuff. And, John, we want to have you back. Kevin, we'll see you next week as our newest, craziest co-host. Todd, as our...
Oh, yeah, man.
Todd is our somehow calm co-host.
That is terrifying, and that's the role that I take up. That is terrifying.
Yeah, and I will say that I had a surprise text message this past weekend from one of the nicest ladies in showbiz. About 3.5 years ago, Todd, I don't know if you were with us at that time or not, but were you there when we interviewed Kathleen Wood, the daughter of filmmaker Ed Wood?
Why, yes, I was.
Kathleen sent me a text this weekend, and we talked for a little while. It's always good to hear from her. It's always a surprise. I mean, just such a nice lady, and her father was truly a Hollywood legend. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. I got about 3 minutes left. Anybody want to make a comment, good or bad, about Ed Wood? I thought he was phenomenal. I just did. He did things nobody else would dare do. I'm correct on that. Kevin, do you have any thoughts about Edward D. Wood Jr.?
God bless him, and just, you know, I didn't really know him that well, but to hear you talk, he seems like he had the heart of a lion too, so.
Yeah. and
he looks
and,
good
and,
in
and
a cashmere sweater, I'll tell you that.
Well, now, and I was going to say, he certainly could drink more than me and Todd together. It was great. I mean, what more can you say? And he was good buddies. He brought Bela Lugosi back. And boy, the Lugosi family hated him. But, you know, but his great-grandson loved it. We used to talk about that.
Now, I'm
familiar
with that Bela Lugosi meme page on Facebook. I am friends with them, and I do keep up with a lot of their stuff. They post a lot of pictures.
Yeah. And you got to say that thanks to Ed Wood and that movie being made about his life, Martin Landau got his Academy Award. And he was incredible as Bela Lugosi in that film. And I think that's great. Todd, do you have any thoughts about Edward D. Wood Jr.?
No, it's he fell in a category of many artists. He was much more appreciated after he was gone.
I think you're right. In fact, I'm sitting here looking at the biography of his book, Nightmare of Ecstasy. He was a nutcase. But that's all right. We love you, Ed. Wherever you are, we love you. And John M. Ware, you let the cat out of the bag when you said he looked good in cashmere. Something like that.
Yeah.
Name the movie for everybody. What was the famous movie he was in? in Kashmir.
I got
Man.
All I can think of is I know I'm thinking of Kashmir in a different spelling. I can't get my head past the damn Zeppelin song at the moment. Sorry.
Yep. Okay, believe it or not, he had a Kashmir sweater in that fabulous, totally unbelievable film, Glenn or Glenda, I Changed My Sex.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
I think that is the quietest you guys have been all night. I know every one of those Ed Wood films. They're incredible in more ways than one. Several should never have been made, but that's okay. I mean, look at some TV from the 50s. Jesus. All right, thanks a lot, guys. It's been totally a lot of fun. Please stay safe with the coronavirus. Help your neighbor, help your friends. And we'll see everybody next week. We'll have somebody interesting and fun. It won't be as interesting and fun as talking about movies changing and Vincent Price being Mr. Freeze. But it'll be great next week. So thanks a lot, guys. We'll see you next time on 1-2-3 Pop Culture Stars. Take care.
Thank you.
Big hugs, all.
Bye,
big
all.
Hugs.